from the advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut, wherever that is. This is Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson.
Ah, yes, another episode. Another episode of Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson. Good morning and welcome to the podcast. Today's episode brought to you by Silverback Advertising. I mean, they're all brought to you by Silverback Advertising. Online at silverbackadvertising.com. The other day, I was in a super boring meeting. That's the problem with being a digital operations manager in an agency. You're in a lot of meetings, and I was in a meeting that, like, I barely needed to be in. I'm like, why am I here? Kind of. So I was perusing LinkedIn, which I like to do during meetings because it's more professional than perusing TikTok. So I was perusing LinkedIn during a meeting, and I came across a post from a dealer that had a pretty good story to tell, and I read the story. And just like that, I thought, oh, I'd like to talk to this guy. So I said, well, I'll reach out and let's talk to him. And his name is David Hetzel. He's a general manager at Fred Beans Ford of Boyertown. Is that it? Boyertown, yes. Boyertown in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the podcast, David. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
How are things going at Fred Beans Ford?
Things are good. We are moving along, starting to get some inventory back from the manufacturer, making some process changes, tweaking our day-to-day operation, and really trying to embrace a little bit of the change in the market and make sure that we're moving forward every day.
You're not a Pirates fan, are you?
I am not.
All right, good. I'm a Mets fan.
Phillies fan. This is Phillies territory. This is Philadelphia territory.
Ah, Philadelphia. I'm a Mets fan, so we'll just pretend like we're not having this part of the discussion. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to be mortal enemies for life. I don't want that.
Sorry for your team.
So am I. All right, David. Tell me your story of this customer interaction that you had that you talked about on LinkedIn, and we'll have a chat about it.
Yeah. So I got a phone call from just a customer. I get a random page, general manager, Dave, line one. You know, anytime you hear that, this is going to be good or it's going
to
be bad.
No one reaches out to you probably with good news.
Yeah. It's either someone selling me something or someone mad that we sold them something. So okay. I pick up the phone and I get a very displeased customer on the other end, and I can tell right away that they are not having a good time. And they're telling me that, you know, up until when they reviewed their paperwork when they got home, everything was a great experience. They told me they're loyal customers of our dealer group, first time buying a car at our dealership, and reviewed the paperwork and found that there was $500 deposit that they put on the car that never made to their paperwork. I immediately apologize because this isn't the first time in the automotive industry that, you know, a $500 deposit may not have made it to the paperwork. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it happens sometimes. So I completely just apologetic. I'm very sorry that this happened. I'll get your $500 refunded back to you. I'm really sorry. I apologize. And we go into a long story of, you know, they told the finance manager, hey, make sure that $500 is in there. And he said, I will make sure it's in there. And it was missed. So the customer's super irritated that they have to call me. What would have happened if I wouldn't have called you? Would have I even gotten my $500 back? What kind of an operation are you running? Very angry, very upset. So I apologize. I'm sorry I'll get your $500 back. I get off the phone. I go down to my office. I grab the deal jacket. I find that the $500 was actually in the deal. It was on a separate line item. There was cash down, and then there was a deposit line. And the $500 was accounted for. A customer must have just missed it, or it wasn't explained properly in finance. Mm-hmm. That's okay. I scan all of the copies. I highlight everything. I send an email out right away. Within 2 minutes of getting off the phone, I send an email right to the customer, attach all of those documents on there and saying, we found the $500. It was on there. I apologize that it wasn't explained. And I call the customer. As soon as I hit send on the email, I say, please, can you open up your email? Let me know if you got this. I'm going to review this with you. We review it. They apologize. I'm so sorry. We were worried. You know, it's been a couple of weeks. You know, we've never done business with you. So we were worried that we weren't going to get our money.
Sure.
Understood. You know, they said, thank you. We love the experience. We will continue to buy cars, all that. Okay, good. I get off the phone. I immediately go right up the street to the Walmart that's right up the street from us, and I go and I grab a $200 gift card and put the gift card right in an envelope and write a letter out to them. I apologize for the inconvenience. You know, we want you to make sure that you had a great experience and all of this stuff. Please have dinner on us as a thank you for your business and for an apology for the miscommunication, and send it out. Didn't tell the customer I was sending it, just sent the gift card out, and hopefully they got a nice dinner on us. And, you know, I did this without really telling anybody that I did this. And a big part of it for me is to make sure that our customers know that we're there for them in the good and the bad. I don't want them to ever have any sort of ill will against purchasing a car. They can get a car anywhere. I just want them to have a great experience. Yeah. And my goal was to turn that little bit, just turn it around as if, you know, $200 get dinner on us. If that is a game changer for them as far as their mindset, I'm in.
Yeah. And you totally did not have to do that. There was no mistake on the dealership's part, right? You guys, it turns out you didn't, they had their $500, but there's no harm in doing that. And you're right. They said they had a good experience, right? And we'll come back. But when they're telling the story to everybody they know over the next 6 months, over when they talk about getting their new car, they're going to tell the story, and they're going to tell the part of the story where they were worried they wouldn't get their money. And it's not really a negative, but it's like a caveat to the good experience. And now they're going to tell the story, and the story's going to end with, and they gave me $200 for no reason.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that I've always found is if someone has a really good experience, they're going to probably, if someone asks, maybe they'll tell about their good experience. But sometimes you need to have a little bit of a hiccup in the road to overcome that.
Yeah.
To make the experience great, because the experience was good up until the $500. And if the $500 never became a thing, the experience would have just been good.
Yeah.
But my goal was to make the experience great. And it's easy to go from bad to great, but how do you make it to go from good to great? I can overcome all of the things and make it a better experience. And that's ultimately what we try to do.
Now, I don't know every dealer in the country, and I've worked at a group before, but I feel like, first off, in a lot of situations, that call might never have reached the general manager. The person ends up in a voicemail. Nobody ever calls him back. The person never hears from anybody. They write an email, they get lost in someone's voicemail, and they never hear back from somebody. Or they get a general manager, or if they can't get the GM, they get a sales manager on the phone who might not be as invested in the long-term success of the dealership or the long-term retention of that customer, who's like, dude, it's in there. It's fine. Like, don't worry about it. Thanks. Bye. Click. Right? So how important is it? The lost hero in this story might be the receptionist. Like, how important is it that the receptionist, whether she was doing it intentionally or not, got you to talk to that customer? Because a lot of situations, I don't know if that call even makes it to the right person.
So one of the interesting things about this store, and this is a process that happened before I even got here, we don't have voicemails on our phones.
Really?
So none of the desk lines have voicemail. We have one centralized voicemail at the front counter for overnight.
Okay.
But none of the desks have voicemails. And the reason for that is because the last thing we want to do is have someone leave a message to the voicemail. Someone will take that message from that customer. If I get paged and I don't answer the phone because I'm out on the lot, I'm on the other line, whatever, someone takes a handwritten message, and that message gets delivered to myself in an email, and it also gets hand delivered to me for me to call that person back. No one will just get patched over to someone's email or someone's voicemail to just leave a message, because we don't know what happens when someone leaves a voicemail. You don't even know if you got the right person, if it's getting to the right place, if you left the right information. So we kind of set that precedent here. So it works out pretty well. So regardless of how that person communicates with us, that voicemail doesn't happen because we don't even have that as an option. Someone, you're going to talk to a person.
Yeah. I like that process though. Like, I wonder if a lot of dealers think about their phone message process. Like, we have processes for, you know, phone answering and using your CRM and leads and appointments and, you know, and a walkthrough and test drive and manager TO and finance and delivery and introduction to service. But do a lot of dealers have process for phone messages? I don't know that they do. I don't know that I've heard that before.
You know, one of the things that I actually learned pretty early on in the car business is how easy it is to avoid a voicemail from a customer. You know, when I was a finance manager, I had a general manager that he loathed voicemails. It was a part of the business. We had voicemails, but the flashing red light that was always on the phone. Why is it always flashing? Please check your voicemails. My general manager at this time actually would call the dealership and ask for finance and leave a voicemail. And he would say, David, it is 9:30 on Tuesday. Please call me when you get this message. And I would check my voicemail and it'd be Thursday. And I'd check that voicemail and I would go, oh man, I gotta call my general manager. It's been 2 days. So I learned pretty early on how important it is to respond to those messages from those customers and how quickly we have to check them. So I have had processes in the past for voicemail, but the fact that we don't have it here, I don't even have to worry about it. That's everyone awesome. Kind of does. Everyone answers the phone. Sales manager pages, we all race to get to the phone. Who better to answer a sales manager call? There's only two people that are calling a sales manager. Either customer wants to buy a car or customer's having a problem.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk to that customer regardless of why they called. So we take phones pretty seriously here.
It's interesting too, because like I think about my own experience. 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, I think my lease is up in July. I'm not sure though. So I called the Jeep dealership where I bought my car and I couldn't remember the name of the sales guy. He was great, but I can't remember his name. And so I called and I got a human being right off the bat, like a receptionist. And I said, hey, I bought a car there in 2020. I don't remember what year it was. And I don't know who I worked with. And I want to see if my lease is up. Can you find who it is? And so she looked it up in the CRM right on the phone, said, oh, you worked with Jeremy. Let me see if he's here. And she forwarded the call and I got his voicemail. And I was like, I'm never going to hear back from Jeremy. So she leaves me. I hear the voicemail. I recognize his voice. Oh, yeah, that's the guy. I leave a voicemail. I hang up. I figure I'm never going to hear back. And an hour later, the guy called me. Oh, hey, Matt, it's Jeremy. How's it going? How's your Grand Cherokee? I got the third row when it first came out. How's the third row? Do the kids like it? Do you use it? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I looked up your account before I called you back. And your lease, you did a 48-month lease. Your lease isn't up until 2025. And I was like, oh, it's not? And he's like, nope. He's like, if you want to come in and look at a new one, you're welcome to. But if not, don't worry about it. I'll call you when, you know, you're getting close to your lease being up. And I was like, oh, thanks. I appreciate it. And thanks for calling me back. Because I went into it thinking there's no way I'm going to hear back from this dude. And I don't know if that's just from experience from where the group that I was at, where, you know, a salesperson wouldn't return a phone call. Like, I had a general manager who's still a close buddy of mine. And if he got a customer on the phone and the customer said, I left a message with so-and-so and he didn't call me back, the GM would, that was his pet peeve. He would flip out. And so salespeople there would be like, yeah, okay, I got to call a guy back. If that guy calls Todd after he calls me and says it doesn't matter if it's an hour or if it's 3 days, he's going to be mad. So I went into it expecting to have a bad experience, which is not good for our industry, by the way. Like, I went into it expecting it to not be good.
Yeah. It's a turnover in the automotive industry kind of makes it a little tough because, you know, you lease a car from someone 2 years ago. What are the chances you're getting your person that you talk to again?
It's tough.
It does make it a little bit tough, but the ones that are doing the right things, talking to their customers, communicating to them throughout the whole time, you know, every CRM that's out there has a follow-up cadence to when someone buys a car.
Yeah.
Are we just putting in the notes LM because we left a message for the customer? Are we actually trying to reach back out to them? I had a lengthy discussion with one of the sales guys. We were talking about asking for referrals last night and talking about how do we follow up? How do we justify a reason why we have to call that customer? What's the purpose of our call? We have to have an intention for our customer to take care of the customer that we have. But if we've earned the right to ask them for that referral, we shouldn't be afraid to make that phone call. And that's, I feel like that's a piece of the business that's a little bit lost of those phone skills.
Yeah.
You know, everyone just wants to text and do all that, which is great. I'm all in on texting and emailing and writing letters and doing every communication that you possibly can, but how effective are we on the phones? I feel like we may have lost a little bit of that touch.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think COVID had something to do with it? When you didn't have to be, you didn't have to be aggressive. They were just coming to you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think that when we had more customers than we had cars, you know, we could pick and choose who we sold vehicles to. If someone said no, it was okay, please step out of the way. There's a guy right behind you ready to purchase that same vehicle. It made it a little bit tough, you know? Yeah. And I think that as we slowly are getting inventory back, we're having to refocus and talk about all of those things again and change our shift into that customer centric, not dealer centric. We're going back towards the customer aspect. We need the customers again. And it was a shame that did happen, where we did end up losing a little bit of that touch as far as taking care of our customers. And we're slowly, I think, as an industry, working our way back towards that again.
You know, back to my Jeep example, like there's three Jeep dealers that are within probably 45 minutes of me, right? And one of them is 15 minutes away, but it's the smallest of the stores. It's a tiny, like, I live in a small town. It's the smallest of the stores. And when I went to, but I wanted to try and buy from them because they're like in my town, my local store. Like, yeah. I'm like, it's Wetmore. I want to buy my Jeep at Wetmore's Jeep. They're my town's Jeep dealer. I know one of the guys who works there. Like, I'll do it. But when the time came, they didn't have the one that anything close to the one that I wanted. And I was like, all right, fine. So I went to the next one and had the worst experience I've ever had in my entire life. And so then the third one, which is the same distance away as the second one, but it's kind of just in like the opposite traffic pattern of like going downtown. It's kind of out of the way. Yeah. I had the one I wanted and I had the best experience there. And if they were closer, I would service my car there, but I don't, because I'm not going to drive 40 minutes to service. I service it at the people that are in my town. It's easy to get to. It's across the street from Bagel Man, so you can get to bet your bagel while your car's getting oil change or whatever. But I'm going to go back and try and buy it from that first place, first time around, because I like the sales guy. I like the experience. Like, I'm going to go back there again, even though it's twice as far away as the place that was closest to me. And even if these guys have the same car, like, I like those guys now. I had a good experience. I got the car, bought the car, did the whole thing in the same day, no problem. And they didn't have time to detail it. And they said, we can't detail it. And they said, bring it back this week. So I got it, came home, then I went back a few days later and had it detailed. Great experience. And so that's where people will flock to, is experience. We all have the same cars at the same price.
I try to tell everybody that I interact with in the dealership setting that's working at the dealership, we're all selling the same cars.
Yeah.
We buy them for the same prices. We use the same banks. We all pretty similarly have the same processes we take our customers through. We do the trade appraisals. We do we open up all the doors when we do the demonstration. They can get that same experience anywhere. But what is going to separate us? What's going to be the difference maker? It's the people. The people is a big part of it.
Sure.
But there's people other places too. And I always tell everyone that I'm, you know, all the sales guys, when we're talking about training, there's another guy up the street that's doing it a little bit better than you.
Yeah.
And that when your customer gets in front of that sales guy, he's going to do it a little bit better. He's going to ask the right questions at the right time. He's going to go over that one thing that you may have missed. We have to make sure that we're aware of what our customers' needs are and what their wants are, and make sure that we're fine tuning our presentation and tailoring our presentation to making sure that customer has the best experience from the beginning to the end. It's all of the people involved. It's the what happens when they call and put in the lead. Who do they talk to? Do we smile before we pick up the phone?
Yeah.
You know, did we respond to them right away? Did we actually type an email, or was the email just a generic, you know, we click a template and send it over and it doesn't even take out their name. It just says insert name here in parentheses. And we sent that as a template and automated, and there's an automated email that came out from a general manager. Your input is important to me, and it's the same thing that everyone else does.
Yeah.
How are we separating ourselves from the competition? Because it's really easy to be in the middle. That's why the middle is so large. There's really bad dealers. There's a whole bunch of really good ones. But how do you become the great?
Yeah.
How do you get your customers to drive 40 miles? How do you get them to drive past one dealer to come to you?
Yeah.
That's what makes you different.
You know who's driving me nuts? Like, because as the marketing guy at a group, I would spend a lot of time in the BDCs. I would go to different stores and I always get with the BDC managers, or my office was always near the BDC or whatever. And we would be looking at like email process. And I used to hate when it like inserts the name of the vehicle, but then it's like an extra space at the end. So it's like responding to your inquiry about our all caps, Ford F-150, space, 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 please reach out. And I'm like, guys, that's ridiculous. Like the, all you gotta do is backspace three times and it looks like a human wrote it. Like,
yeah.
Or get rid of your inquiry. Nobody talks like that. You know, like, you know, take it and sure, use the template, but take it and make it conversational, which you could do now, I guess, with AI. You could take those templates, put it into ChatGPT and say, rewrite this in a more conversational tone. And then boom, it would go ahead and do it. And you can just paste it back into your template. You know,
I try to tell all of our guys, we have enough time in the day and we're not so overwhelmed with work that we can't take the extra 5 minutes to send that email to the customer.
Yeah.
A customer absolutely knows the difference between an automated email and one that we typed out.
Yes.
You know, I had a template one point that actually had spelling mistakes in it on purpose to make it seem like it was more human. I thought that was the most crazy thing ever, that they purposefully put spelling mistakes in the template so that people would go, oh, they've had a spelling mistake. This must be from a real person.
Yeah.
It still looked like an automated, you know, template of an email.
Yeah.
So I tell my guys, you know, make sure that your subject line is captured. Make sure that it will capture the audience. Give them a reason to open up your email, not your inquiry, your F-150 request. Let's make it personal. Let's put their name in there, your name in the dealership, the car they're looking at.
Yeah.
You know, you can put emojis and email signatures and subject lines and all that stuff now. So I said, let's make it personal. You know, people are bombarded with a lot of things in their email all day long that they don't open.
Sure.
How do we get them to open our email, and how do we get them to engage and respond back? Sometimes you got to get a little bit personal. Stop sending the stock photos from the website. Go pull the car up, pull it around, go take pictures of it from your phone and send it over. They will know if you took those photos for yourself.
Yeah.
It is those little things that separate you from everyone else.
Yeah, agree. I get a ton of emails from people who are trying to, you know, either sell their service to my agency or want us to use them for something, or, you know, whatever, selling data. And, you know, I look at them, and a lot of them, you can tell by the font, or you could tell by the signature or the spacing. Like, this is just a boom, sent, blowing this out from their CRM. They bought a list of, you know, management at agencies and whatever. And then sometimes I'll get one, or maybe it's combined with like, you know, something that's like specific about the agency that's accurate, as opposed to just like, you know, hey, I'm reaching out to you, Matt, about to take this questionnaire about how PR has changed. And I'm like, dude, I work for a media agency. Like, what? Like, that's the targeting is way off on wherever you got. We don't even do PR. But if you see something where they're like, oh, I, you know, noticed on your bio that you spent 15 years in radio and I used to work at iHeart as a salesperson. Did you ever work at iHeart? Like, oh, okay. That person took a few minutes to at least try and find a way to connect with me. And they thought, you know, like, radio people love talking to old radio people. So I'm like, oh yeah, all right, I'll spend 5 minutes letting the radio person pitch me. I love to talk about radio. but that's a differentiator, just to try and get me, because just like you, like, I can't get back to everybody who reaches out to me. I would spend all day getting back to vendors, right? That would be my full-time job. But it's the same thing with customers. Customers are bombarded with emails, and most likely if they are reached out to you, they reached out to another dealer, right? Or maybe they filled out a form on Auto Trader or TrueCar or whatever. So they're probably getting 5 or 6 dealer emails anyway. So like, you want them to open yours 1 out of 5.
We got to separate ourselves from what everyone else is doing. It's you know, whatever CRM you have, there's only a handful of CRMs that all the dealerships use. The templates are, a lot of them are preloaded in there already, and they're the same things everywhere. We just insert dealer's name here and kind of make that what's going to make us better.
Yeah.
That's going to sell us the car. That's going to separate us. We're just doing what everyone else does.
Yeah. Imagine you and your two closest Ford competitors all have eLead, and you all have the same templates, and you all send the same, you know, first response message or whatever it's called. Like, you know, it's like reading them side by side. This is the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you just seem really generic and you're not making it about the experience at that point. So big thing for us is it tough to get that person in the dealership? Yes. It's always one of the most challenging things is getting a person to commit to coming to the store. Once they get to the store though, that's where we have to be lights out better than everywhere else that they had visited. We have to lay it on thick. We got to give them that, you know, the best presentation they've ever seen on a car. We have to walk them around the dealership. You know, there's a process in almost every single dealership that has a service operation is we do a service walk.
Right.
Well, they just walk them over to service and they go, that's the person you talk to for your oil change. This is our service department. Well, let's take it a step further. Let's actually show them into the service department. Let's introduce them to an advisor.
Yeah.
The service manager would love to meet them. Let's introduce them to the person that's going to answer the phone at the receptionist. Let's over-serve that customer so that they feel very comfortable. I always try to relate this with all of the sales consultants that are new or struggling a little bit. I tell them, remember back when you first came in for your first interview. Remember how uncomfortable it was. You didn't know where to go. You didn't know who to talk to. You walk in, you're nervous. You don't know where you're going. You don't know left and right anymore. You forgot what's actually happening. That's what your customer experiences when they walk into the dealership. They don't know where they're supposed to go. They talk to three different people. They're nervous. They're about to make a big decision. They don't know if they're going to make the right decision. They don't know if the salesperson that they're going to talk to is a good salesperson. They don't know if they're going to hear the good information that they should hear. They don't know if they're going to get lied to like the last five places they went to.
Right.
Let's make sure that they're so comfortable when they show up that this is the best experience that they can have. Because if they do leave and they go somewhere else, we have set the bar here.
Yes.
And the next person is going to have to, they're going to have to surpass this.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily always the price. Everyone wants to make it about price, but the price is one of the reasons, but it's not the ultimate reason.
The little detail, the cleanliness of the floor. Like we used to make sure that our floors were clean at one of our stores because you're like, all right, well, you walk in here and the place look, you know, we had like, it was a Nissan store that had that N-Ready 2.0. So it was not, it was nice, but I think they're up to whatever the next N-Ready is now. There's another version up, but it was a nice store. But one of our competitors had the old version and it was like run down and like the lighting was dimmer. And so we're like, all right, let's keep like I had a rule that, and I got this from a previous job in marketing in retail was no cardboard boxes visible out behind the front desk. Because you walk in and it looks like a shipping and receiving department. Like there's the front desk and the receptionist, and then there's like a wall of cardboard boxes. And you know, a dealership, you get deliveries all day, every day, right? Well, yeah, those deliveries get delivered into the back and they get put into a room in the back where the key track is. So they're not in customer view because it looks shoddy. It looks like we're moving. It looks like we're under construction. Like, you know, and then they walk into your store and it's like a pleasant, you know, vibe and the music isn't too loud and it's not... You know, it's not offensive and it's bright in there and it's decorated for the holidays. You walk in the other store and there's signage that's old and the sales guy's shirt's all rumpled and there's boxes everywhere. Like they may not make the decision because of that, but subconsciously that's a positive and a negative in their mind when they're deciding where they're going to buy the car.
You set the standard for what a dealership should look like and what it should feel like when you walk into it, you know. If there are boxes, if there's paperwork cluttered and you get to a salesperson's desk and he's got to hold on, he shoves the driver's license from last customer in the desk. That customer's thinking about that for a second. I went to a dealership one time to purchase a car. I was in the automotive industry and I went to go look at this car and they handed me a clipboard for a test drive. Here's this clipboard, fill out your information. We'll give you a dealer tag. You can go out for a drive for yourself. And they handed me the clipboard. And when I pulled the sheet off after I filled it out, there was a driver's license and a social security card copy on that clipboard. And I handed it to the receptionist and I said, I feel like here I found this on this clipboard. And I gave it to her and she crumbled it up and threw it in the trash. And I said, you should take that out of the trash. That's the test drive because I had to. It was a really exciting car I wanted to drive, but I made a point to say, you should definitely please take that out of the trash. That's a social security card. That's a really big deal. I would never purchase a car from a place if I saw that. If that happened one time, I'm sure that's not the first time that something weird has happened like that. You know, it is about the perception when they walk into the dealership. You can go into any of the Fred Bean stores. This is something, this is a really big deal. We don't have trash cans at sales consultants' desks.
Really?
There's one trash can centralized on the showroom floor. It's a larger, nice trash can. It's actually painted. You know, it's a nice trash can. There's no trash cans at salespeople's desks. We don't have trash cans there.
I like that.
It's, you know, you won't find empty water bottles all over the place. You're not going to find the cups filled with 1,000 pens in it. Why do you need 1,000 pens at your desk? What are you going to do? You really need one, maybe two.
Yeah.
Put them in your desk. You're not going to find cups filled with pens. And, you know, it's the cleanliness and the appearance of the dealership is definitely something that sets us apart from that. And
no extension cord across the floor into a plug in the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a customer might not ever notice that there wasn't a trash can there, but if there's a trash can and it's overfilled, could that customer notice that trash can if it's overfilled?
Yeah.
Yeah. They might think about it a little bit differently. They're subconscious. But if there's no trash can to fill up,
yeah,
we don't have to worry about that.
I like that. It is the little things. I like those. And those are differentiating without having to say, we're the only guys that do free oil changes for life. Like, that's a differentiating thing that is a subconscious differentiator.
Yeah. 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 And it is sometimes those things that you don't get to point out because no one's walking in and go, look at us. We don't have trash cans at our desk. That's how much better we are than everyone else.
Yeah, right.
We don't say things like that.
But it'd be really weird if you did.
You could. They'd be like, okay, that was a weird sales tactic. I wonder where he's going with this.
Yeah, right.
We make sure that everything that we do is to make sure that our customers have that best experience and they have an experience unlike anything else that they can get. Because you can get the same order anywhere else. We sell the same cars. I always say we're selling vanilla here. Everyone else has vanilla. What's going to separate our vanilla from their vanilla?
Yeah.
They have F-150s. They're regular vehicles. They have Ford Edge. They're regular cars. Everyone's got the same thing. What's going to make my car and my experience better? That's all we're striving for every day. Cool little thing that we do here that, you know, I don't know if a lot of places are doing this, and I hope every dealership does this. Kids come to the dealership. They show up. Kids don't want to be here. They don't want to be here for 4 hours buying a car.
Ew.
I have a box filled with Hot Wheels and baby cars. So when the parents buy a car or don't buy a car, guess what the kid gets? They get their first car.
Yeah.
That's our cool. First car in a dealership comes from us. And, you know, kids open it up. It keeps them occupied for a little bit. They're driving them around the showroom. They're having fun. But we don't do it for anything. It's not when they buy the car, they get the car. It's when the kids are there.
Yeah.
They get the car. It doesn't matter if they came here for, you know, I'm just looking and I'm not buying a car. It cost me 99 cents to have a Hot Wheel, but I made an experience for that little kid that had a great, that kid's going to go to another dealership and he's going to tell his parents, why aren't you buying it from the next man that gave me the Hot Wheels?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is those little things sometimes that just really set the standard for what we should be doing as an industry.
That was my next question, or my next statement was, is it an uphill battle because of the negative perception of our industry?
You know, everyone every day coming into the dealership, they have their guard up because of what happened the last time they were there.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough. It's never going to be easy, but our job every day is to make a customer for life. That's all we're trying to do and it has to start with that first transaction. That first transaction is going to be the hardest. Once we get over that hurdle of making sure that customer had the best experience this one time, the rest of the experience is going to be easy from there. There's going to be hiccups along the way. We're selling cars. Cars break. Situations happen. $500 deposits are missed.
Sure.
Our job is to make sure that when those things happen, how do we react? How quickly do we react? Are we giving the customer the best experience every single interaction that they have? If we as an industry continue to work towards excellence with our customers every day and take a little bit of a hospitality aspect with this and not just transactional, because we are just dealers made it very transactional. You buy a car from me, you service with me, you don't service with me. Okay, perfect. I'm going to bombard you for the next 5 years with, you know, coupons to come back and buy a car. But how do we make this more of a hospitality industry? How do we make sure that our customers have such a great experience when they come here that they don't even think about going to another place because they know that nobody else is going to be able to do what just happened there? And all of us have that opportunity. Doesn't cost, you don't have to spend money to have, to give someone that great experience. Doesn't cost money to do it. Can you spend a couple dollars along the way to make it an even better? Yeah. Will a $200 gift card change someone's mindset and perception of a dealer? I think it has the potential to. Is that really going to hurt your bottom line?
No. If it hurts your bottom line, then you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Then you're just giving out gift cards because you want to give out gift cards.
Yeah.
But you have to do it for the right intentions. And the intentions are to make sure that you win the customer and the customer doesn't want to go anywhere else but call you. You know, I have my cell phone number on my business cards. Customers aren't calling me at Sunday at 7 o'clock at night. But I'm not afraid to give my cell phone number out to any customer that asks me for my card or anybody that ever has any situation. I want to be there and I want to make sure that these customers know that I'm not just going to hide behind a computer. I'm not going to hide behind a voicemail. I'm not going to hide behind, you know, I have people for that. No, I want to take care of all of our customers all day, every day. And I want them to know that I'm here for them.
Yeah. Love it. David Hetzel, general manager of Fred Beans Ford of Boyertown. Dave, I appreciate it. It was a good conversation. Let's do it again sometime
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you having me on and letting me talk a little bit about what we do as a difference maker.
I'd say go ahead and check your voicemail now, but you don't have voicemail, so you don't have to check your voicemail.
Not going
to
happen. Yeah, not going to work.
All right. Have a good one, Dave.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Another episode of Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson in the books. Appreciate you listening. Make sure you go like and subscribe and all that podcast stuff you're supposed to say.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper is blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.